Greetings from El Montecito Presbyterian Church, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find it to be meaningful and relevant. We are located at 1455 East Valley Road in Santa Barbara, California. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us by phone at 805-969-5041 or visit us on our website at www.elmopress.org. And now, may God bless you as you give attention to His Word.
Amen. Father God, may you open our hearts and our minds to your truth by the power of the Holy Spirit now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So you may already know this, but on June 21st, 1990, at Windy Gap, a camp, a young wife camp in North Carolina, your pastor began following Jesus Christ. I can tell you the day, the hour, the place I was at. I know that's not everyone's story. That's my story. And it's a beautiful reminder for me of this moment in time when I began following Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Right after making that commitment to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior, my young life leaders, Ty Saltzgiver and Dickie Barlow, Lori Jeantot, they handed me an NIV paper-bound, you know, Old and New Testament Bible. And they gave me that Bible, and they said, this, Tom, is a gift. And as a follower of Christ now, if you want to know more about this man that you've just committed your life to, the God you're now serving, this is the place where you find life. This is the place where you find truth. That Bible is long since fallen apart and is no longer ready. I can't even show it to you anymore. I've been through a few of them, but that was 29 years ago. And I will tell you, I have not come to a point where I have plumbed the depths, or even come close to plumbing the depths of the mysteries, of the joy, of the life found in God's Word. What Ty and Dickie and Lori gave me was one of the greatest gifts that anyone could be given as a brand new follower of Christ. And that is the lesson that God's Word is precious, that God's Word is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path, that God's Word is precious. So this morning, and every morning here as I preach, we're going to jump in to God's Word. Amen? Amen. So we've already heard Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, read by Gary. Thank you. That is like radio voice, Gary. I love it. You need a radio show. We're going to look at some other Proverbs that actually will highlight something that we've just been talking about briefly, and that is the importance of staying connected to God's Word. As we walk through Proverbs, many of these, if you're doing the 31 for 31 challenge, you've already read, which is fantastic. This actually will help you this morning as we jump into these verses, because it won't be the first time you're seeing them for a while. And as we look at these, the poetic language that is happening here is of a father to a son. But really, this is a heavenly father speaking in many ways to his children, his sons, his daughters. And that's what we are as followers of Christ. We're sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I hope you know that. In this poetic language, we see things like Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn there now. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. If you go to the next chapter of Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, you see this beautiful picture. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. Here's one we'll read tomorrow in chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then finally, on the 30th of the month, we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 to 6, this beautiful picture. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Do you see a pattern here? And we could go on even with more of these. There's something powerful about reading God's word on a daily basis. People tell us that it takes 30 days to create a habit, so we have 31 days to create this beautiful habit of reading God's word, of asking God for wisdom, of seeking it out like silver, mining for it. God is telling you and me, his loved children, to keep my words. Hide every flawless and wonderful word I've given you into the inmost part of who you are. Digest them. There are other parts of Scripture where he literally says, eat my word. Make them a part of who you are. Respect them, obey them, and submit to their authority. 29 years ago, my young life leaders didn't just give me a Bible and say, hey, Tom, here's your instruction manual for life. You know, everything we get today has an instruction manual, whether it's paper or online. Even our shampoo has an instruction manual, doesn't it? I've never really had to follow that one too much. I feel like they just want you to use more of their shampoo. We get an instruction manual for our iPhones, right? Our computers, our AirPods. And we're told that this Bible sometimes is our instruction manual. You know, you get a car, you have an owner's manual, and then you get your life, and you've got this owner's manual. In a sense, that's true, but there is so much more to God's word than this just being our owner's manual. My young life leaders taught me that God came down from heaven and revealed himself to me through Jesus Christ and God's word. This book is unlike any book in the entire world. This is God's word. This is God's story. This is the source, we believe as Christians, of all wisdom. It's the way that we know we are loved and forgiven and accepted through Jesus Christ. God's wisdom has come down to you and me through his word and his son. And it's living, and it's a hope of glory. This is more than just ink on a page, folks. This is breath from heaven. I have three moves in this sermon this morning that I want to walk you through, and I'll help you remember them through some posturing. Each of these moves is there with a posture. The first one is that I believe we stand in awe of God's word and the God who gave us his word. The second move is that we humbly sit under the authority of God's word. And the third is we walk boldly in the light of God's word. So we stand, we sit, and we walk. We stand in awe of the God who gave us his word. Paul was instructing Timothy, his young protege. He was mentoring him, and he says to Timothy, but as for you, this is when you pay attention when you're being mentored by someone. Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy, since you were a little baby, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Older Paul is telling younger Timothy not to forget where he comes from and from where this truth comes from, the Holy Scriptures. And he uses this beautiful language of all Scripture being God-breathed. The Bible is the Word of God, yes, through the words of men, yes. The Holy Spirit spoke through the authors of Scripture. Just like Jesus Christ is fully divine and fully human, this Word is both the words of God and the words of men. What Scripture says, God says. This is not just ink on a page. This is breath from heaven. This isn't the result of some people sitting down and getting creative with a pen and paper and eventually a printing press. God exhaled and gave us this word for our life. The world will say, hey, you know what? That is old, it's dead, it is done. People may say it's obsolete, it's irrelevant. I don't need it, I don't believe it. Goodbye, don't want to have anything to do with that ancient document. But you know what? That won't stop the Word of God from being living and breathing and teaching and correcting and rebuking and training and penetrating, because God's Word is precious and it came from God. You know, there are actually countries where the Bible is outlawed. It's illegal to own a Bible. It is illegal to read the Bible. But in many ways, that's a pretty ridiculous, short-sighted view of God. Think about this. Those dictators, they're going to come and go. They have come and gone. But you know what? This word remains. He will reign, and God's word will remain forever. We read earlier from Isaiah 40, verse 8, that the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. People can deny it. People can say, I just don't know about this. But it's still here. It's still alive. It's still active. It's still penetrating. It's still shining light into dark places. It's still breath from heaven. This book is like no other book. This book is given by God, and it reveals God's bigger story of why we exist and how we thrive in life. Why do we read the Bible? Because it gives life. It gives guidance. It creates faith. It makes the foolish wise. It humbles the prideful. It lifts up the discouraged. It teaches us about God's character and how we are to thrive in this world. It corrects those who are in error, and it encourages those who are obedient. Every heresy in the church throughout church history can be traced back to ignoring one or more parts of this truth. I believe that with all my heart. The Bible is protected. It's God-breathed. And it's so simple and complex that our early church fathers used to say that a gnat could swim in it, but an elephant would drown in it. In this book, you're going to meet Jesus. His birth, his perfect life, his death on the cross, the resurrection from the dead, everything we celebrate at this communion table, everything we remember in this meal this morning is right here in the Bible. And that's truly awe-inspiring, because we stand in awe of the God who gave us his word. And we humbly sit under his word. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13 says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him who we must give an account. That's humbly sitting under God's word. It cuts deeply. And yes, in our culture today, where experience tends to have the highest value, we want what we want, when we want it, however we want it. In this age of self-fulfillment and self-promotion and selfies, authority isn't something we naturally gravitate towards, is it? No one wants to sit under any authority. And it's a hard sell to tell people without a deep relationship with Christ, you know what, you're supposed to sit under the authority of God's word. Nobody likes to hear what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians 6:19, where he says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. That price is the cross. That stings, but it's true. Paul says about himself in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We don't like even giving up a parking spot at Trader Joe's, which are hard to find, yet alone giving our entire lives over to God. But this is what we are called to do as his followers. We humbly sit under God's word. Thomas A'Kempis in the 15th century was a Roman Catholic monk who wrote The Imitation of Christ. He said this, "The more completely a man dies to self, the more he begins to live to God." The more we die to ourselves, the more we live to God. Now, death to self is a difficult thing to grasp, and there could be a whole sermon about it, and there probably will be. But I like what Dallas Willard says in the book Life Without Lack. He says, "One problem that has hindered this teaching of dying to self in the past is that those presenting it have not carefully drawn the distinction between death to and death of self. As a result, people view death to self as if it's a means of getting rid of yourself. That is not at all what it involves. You were not put here on earth to get rid of yourself. You were put here to be a self and to live fully as a self. The worth of the self, your self, is inestimable. And God's intent for you is that you become fully realized as self as you make the grace-fueled movement from old self to new. That is done through Christ. It is done through humbly sitting under God's word, and we make space for Jesus to live through us and in us. That is how we fully become our true selves. We were not put here on earth to get rid of ourselves. We were put here by God to be set free from our sin, to fully live for Jesus. We are made to humbly sit under the authority of God. On January 20th, 1804, Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, ordered two King James versions of the Bible, the New Testament, from a Philadelphia bookstore. When they arrived to the White House, Jefferson sat down with his razor in hand and turned to the Gospels. Then he began literally cutting away all of the passages he didn't like. When he finished, only 10% of the original New Testament remained. Jefferson reconstructed a Jesus who was a philosophical and moral teacher. Everything else about Jesus, his miracles, his divinity, his crucifixion and resurrection, were left on the White House floor. None of us are so bold as to pull a razor out on the Bible, but I do believe we do this a lot, how we neglect God's word. I know I do. I ignore parts that I don't like, and I focus on parts that I do like. We go for days, weeks, months without really digging deeply into God's word. Psalm 119:16 says, "I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." Where are we neglecting God's word, folks? Are we interrogating Scripture? Are we cutting and pasting and placing Scripture on the same level as any self-help book we might find on Amazon.com? Or are we humbly sitting under God's word? It's a good question to ask. Tradition, reason, experience are all important because God has created us rational and emotional beings with minds. We learn from our shared history. But the proper place of tradition, reason, and experience is sitting humbly under the authority of Scripture. Because Scripture is the revelation of God, it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it has authority over us. We have a responsibility, yes, to study this word in its historical and grammatical and literary context, but the word of God is unlike any other book out there. And we need to humbly kneel before the authority of the God of the word. We don't worship the Bible, but we do worship the God who gave us his word. Let's recap. We stand in awe of the God who gave us his word, and we humbly sit under his word, and now we walk daily in the light of God's word. One of my favorite psalms that I began my ministry with here is Psalm 1. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on that law day and night," that haggah, ruminating, eating, digging into it. "That person is like a tree planted by streams of living water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." You know, when I preached on that a couple weeks ago, I didn't realize that we have something interesting going on here at El Montecito Presbyterian Church. Underneath this building, I'm told by Sean Monroe, is a subterranean stream of water. It runs down the side of the mountain and goes right underneath the basement of this church building. Many of you have fought the mold that has been a result of that spring of living water, which we've got under control right now. I love that this church building and the church people both have access to a spring of water that will bring life. And when the culture goes dry and when things get bleak, we have a Lord that has given us his truth, his word, that we can stay planted and rooted to no matter what happens around us. When the drought comes, which it will come, both literally and figuratively, when things get hard, and yes, things will get hard, we stay connected to the source of living water, always and forever. When I was doing graduate work at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland, I shared classes with men and women training to be pastors in the Church of Scotland. I was assigned a group project with a student who was working to become a pastor in the Church of Scotland, and we were working on a project together. I don't know if you like group projects. I'm not a super fan of them, but sometimes they work out all right. And we were sitting in the dining hall working on this project together, and I said to him, I said, "Oh, could you look up this verse real quick?" And he said, "Oh, I don't have a Bible." He said, "I just photocopy the pages that I need." So I took my Bible and I handed it to him. And I said, "You might need this in your ministry. I think it might help." Are we walking in the light of God's word? Or are we just photocopying the pages that we might think would come in handy someday? Are we able to hold movies, books, conversations, business deals, investments, purchases, everything up to the light of God's word? Are we asking, is this in line with the truth of the gospel, or is this in contradiction with it? After watching movies, Lori and I will usually sit down together and with the girls or with one another, and we'll ask the simple question, what of this was in line with God's word, and what was against God's word? And unpacking that simple question removes power from items in our culture sometimes that go directly counter to God's word. Have you ever been watching a film and found yourself rooting for someone to cheat on their spouse because that other guy was a lot nicer? You've been caught in the trap. What of that holds up to the light of Scripture, and what if that goes against it? It's a good question to ask. We should ask that about everything we do. When advertisements come on the TV, we usually ask our girls, "Hey, what if that was in line with God's word? What if that went against it?" As followers of Christ, we daily walk in the light of God's word. We hold everything up to the truth of Scripture. Are we doing that daily? Are we hiding it in our heart? Are we meditating on it moment by moment? So we stand in awe of the God who gave us his word. We humbly sit under his word, and we walk daily in the light of his word. I used a phrase at the beginning from Scripture that this is breath from heaven. And I want to end with that same phrase. A couple of years ago, Lori and I learned to scuba dive in Hawaii. And it was an interesting opportunity to learn to scuba dive without really taking the class, which we appreciated. They taught you on the boat on the way out to the reef. And it was all about safety and theory, and then they put a mask on your face and an air tank on your back, and as long as you had a guide with you, everything was going to be fine. And we put that regulator in our mouth and this air tank on our back, and we went underwater, and we did something that was so counterintuitive and so amazing and so wonderful that I still long to do it again. We were breathing underwater. It is the most amazing thing in the world. I tried to find a scuba tank to bring it here and put the regulator in my mouth and have this dramatic moment, but it's lobster season here in Santa Barbara, and all the scuba companies said, "Sorry, we're not going to give you a tank for a sermon on Sunday morning. You're going to have to use your imagination." I even offered to pay, and they still said, "Nope, can't have it." I guess that little certification on the way out to the reef didn't really matter for them either. Once you have that tank on your back, you can go places that you never thought you could go. It almost feels like you're flying. And in many ways, I believe as followers of Christ that this word allows us that same privilege in a world that oftentimes we as followers of Christ feel like we're underwater. Do you always feel comfortable as a follower of Christ in this world? Or do you feel like an alien, a stranger? Do you feel like God needs to give you a scuba tank to literally survive when you walk into your work, when you walk into your family, when you walk into your home, when you're out on the street? He's given you breath from heaven. And I think sometimes we look at this and we think, okay, I got it. On Sunday, I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to be good. I can make it 7 days. You can't make it 7 days, folks. You need to stay connected to God's word as if it's your life and as if your life depends on it. Because this is where we find life. This is where we thrive in a world that feels like we're upside down and underwater. This is where we find truth and life, and this is where we find the love that came down and died so that we might live. May we at Elmo be a men and women committed to standing in awe of God who gave us his word, to humbly sitting under this word and daily walking in light of this truth. Father God, we love you and we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your Son and through your word. May we truly understand how precious this truth is as we humbly sit before you. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.